Are you ready?
Live from the Metal Mayhem Studios in Rochester, New York.
We are gold.
And heard around the world by metalheads just like you. This is Metal Mayhem ROC.
Heavy metal music.
Your weekly dose of metal music, interviews, album reviews, news, and more.
Want to be part of the show?
Send us a message through our website, metalmayhemroc.com. Or hit us up on Facebook and Twitter.
Search Metal Mayhem ROC.
It's getting nice and heavy.
Now, welcome our hosts, John the Vernomatic Verno and Metal Forever Mark.
Oh, it's certainly getting heavy. It's getting heavy metal heavy. The Vernomatic with you. And welcome to this week's show. As always, Thursday night, new content drops. Visit the MetalMayhemROC.com website. There you'll find Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, however you get your podcasting content. While you're there, download some past shows, leave a review. That kind of stuff helps the bottom line. Sign up for our email newsletter mailing list. That will get you in the drawing for free merchandise and giveaways that we have every couple weeks. Tonight's show, we have a fun one. We're doing a new segment we call Heavy Metal Memory Lane. This is a chance for me to invite some listeners of both the podcast and the Metal Mayhem ROC live radio show that we have on Monday nights on thatmetalstation.com. Invite some of our listeners onto the show, and we find an album or a band that we're all into, and we have a roundtable, a discussion. So what we're doing tonight, we're going to do Kiss Alive 1. The band just announced some new farewell tour dates, and they're seeing that the pandemic's getting over with. They're really turning the corner on a 50-year-plus career in late June. I think next week there's a two-parter on A&E, Kistory, an official documentary on the band. Not that they don't have a million of them, but this one is totally put together in conjunction with the band. And then there's talk about an official Kiss biop. Let me introduce Bill Lander, vocalist of the death thrash band Order of the Dead, longtime Kiss fan, longtime buddy of the Vernomatic. Hey, Bill, welcome to the show.
Hey, Vern, how you doing, man?
We're doing all right. Listeners may remember Bill from the Ozzy 40th anniversary from After Hours. Bill had a little testimonial on there. So he's not a stranger to the Metal Mayhem show. Good to have you. We also have from New York City. His name is Jimmy Neff, but I like to call him Jimmy from the Bronx. He's a super Kiss fan, and he's a dedicated listener on thatmetalstation.com, our show and all the shows. Jimmy, welcome to Metal Mayhem ROC.
Hey, thanks, John. It's an honor to be here, and you are talking about my favorite group in the whole wide world.
Well, you know what? When we were putting this show together, actually, Bill called me up and he texted me and with all, show ideas. And he came up with this and we're like, we're going to do Kiss Alive 1. And I'm like, damn, we got to get Jimmy from the Bronx on because, like you said. So, Jimmy, why don't you tell us a little bit about how you got into Kiss? Because you're the Kiss expert here. Tell us how you got into Kiss and share your story.
Okay. Well, I was 12 years old. My friends used to always come over to my house, to my apartment in the Bronx. We all lived together and we always played records, So with this older guy that we used to hang out with had this album called Kiss. And I was like, what is this? The first album with the makeup on. So we started playing that and we were like, wow, this is unreal, And then that album came out in February of 1974. And then their second album comes out, Hotter Than Hell, that came out in October in 1974. So they put out two albums in 74. Hotter Than Hell was a good, I liked Kiss a little more than Hotter Than Hell, And then we went to a Halloween party at my friend's house, and that's how we heard them. Dressed to Kill came out in 75, and I heard Rock and Roll All Night on the radio on WNEW in New York. Allison Steele played Rock and Roll All Night, and I was like, oh, my God, this is unbelievable.
Jimmy, how old were you at the time?
I think I was 13.
Okay. Sounds solid.
Yeah, I'm 13 or going on 14. Yeah, probably going on 14. Right? So we start hearing the promos for Kiss Alive on radio here in the city, you know. You know, we used to buy Circus magazine and Cream magazine. Yep. Remember the old rock magazines, you know?
Yep, yep.
And then they started publishing the new album by Kiss, you know. You know, I heard Rock and Roll All Night, you know, from Dress to Kill. Then I hear this live version of Rock and Roll All Night. I'm like, I bought Kiss Alive the week it came out.
Okay, well, I'm going to stop you right there. We'll get to the Alive part. Let's go to Bill. Bill, how did you get into Kiss? And we're a little younger than Jimmy, so yeah. Jimmy has the beginning, but right. We're not that far behind.
No, well, I'm definitely a little behind in that. I was about 8 going on 9, I think. It was November of 1975, and I'd heard Kiss, but I didn't know I heard Kiss yet. Okay. Because what happened was my brother and I were with my mother at JM Fields, which was like a department store like Kmart or Walmart before Walmart. And anyway, I'm walking along and all of a sudden there it is, Kiss Alive, sitting there in the record bin, and it just screamed at me. I was like, what is this? And I remember picking it up and looking at it and just being in total awe. And then when I started looking at the songs, I'm like, hey, wait a minute. I've heard this. I heard Rock Bottom and I heard Rock and Roll All Night.
Now, where would you have heard some of that up here in Rochester? The old AM?
Yes, on WSAY AM station. And they were pretty rocking back in the day.
Yeah, Jimmy, I don't know how it was in New York, but back in the early to mid 70s, before FM radio, AOR album rock radio made it big, the AM stations were jamming, you know, some of that Hendrix and Grand Funk and
Deep Purple,
Sabbath, some of that heavy stuff.
Even UFO, I heard on there.
All right, so Billy gets into them when Alive 1 came out. Now, I'm sort of in the Bill league. I got into them when Alive 1 was already out. It was in fifth grade. So fifth grade for us would have been like 75.
75, 76, something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, fourth grade was the bicentennial. So first song I heard, I remember hearing of Kiss, was Live Rock and Roll All Night from the live album. So Jimmy's ahead of us. He's a little older, and he got into Kiss from the beginning. Now, Jimmy, so Alive 1, tell us how you experienced and digested Alive 1 when it came out.
We had this music store in the neighborhood on Fordham Road in the Bronx, right? It was called Music Makers, right? So I went down. They said, well, the album's coming out today. They're releasing the album. Me and my friends, we ran down there and we got to the Music Makers store, and they had the album cover in the window of the store, you know, on display. So we came into the store. Where's the records? The guy said, oh, I haven't got the shipments in yet. So we had to, so it was like, oh, this is great. Now we can't buy the album. So we had to go across the street and go up 6 blocks. We went to Crazy Eddie's and brought the album. And Crazy Eddie's had tons of them all over the place and stuff. I brought one. My friend brought one. Everybody got their own copy, you know. You didn't share that album with people, you know.
Oh, no, no. Yeah, everyone got their own.
You know? Yeah, because I remember once I brought it to I think it was grammar school or high school. I was playing it in a gym, and some kid on a stereo, and some kid hit it with a basketball. I was going to fucking kill him, you know. You know, like, you know, yeah. I was having like a heart attack. Oh man, you scratched my, you know, you ruined my album. You know, you're going to pay for this. You know, I was like, when I was in high school, I had all the, you know, the booklet that you had all the pictures of them. That was all cut up all in my locker.
Oh, you know? You cut that up?
Yeah, I cut all them. I know I'm a fool today for doing it, but. I still have my Kiss lunchbox that's worth a lot of money, so I'm happy.
Really? You
Yeah, I have a Kiss lunchbox that's worth about $1,700. All right, it's a very rare lunchbox. All right, I have a Kiss Alive lunchbox. My lunchbox is rare because I have the spoon, the fork, the napkins, everything in the set. You know, I went to a Kiss convention and got it appraised once. You know, and I thought the guy was like trying to rip me off. You know, oh, I'll give you like $750 for it. I was like, no.
No, that shit you never sell. Yeah. You know,
I still have it. I still have it, and it's in the original box. All right.
It's fun because Bill came over for this taping up to our studios, and he brought his Kiss Alive 1. Bill, what's the Born on date? Is that the one you bought at JM Fields?
Yeah, November 1975. The album had been out for 2 months, I guess.
So Bill, you bought Kiss Alive 1 at JM Fields.
Yep.
And I heard about it. Now, Jimmy, this is a fun little Vertimatic fun fact. When I got into Kiss was when Alive 1 came out, and I was in fifth grade, and I got into them because I was recruited to play Peter Criss in the talent show with my buddies. And it, yeah, and so I remember my mom didn't know it, but I borrowed her fashion.
You did the makeup?
No, her fashion boots, the big heels. And,
oh, great.
But that started my Kiss fandom.
Nice.
So
I went to the Kiss reunion tour, you know, when they came back, you know, and my buddy, we used to call him the Mountain. He came with me, and his real name is Ben. He's like 6'9", big dude, and he comes down with the Godzilla boots on. You know, he had his own Gene Simmons Godzilla boots, and he was wearing them walking around New York City with me.
Where'd he get them? He made them?
He made them. He made his own Godzilla boots. And we're walking around New York City. We're walking around Madison Square. Then it starts to rain. Don't worry about the rain. I got my Kiss umbrella that lights up.
It's awesome.
We're walking down the street. People are running up to us, like, running across the street. Where did you get the umbrella? Where did you get the boots? You know, guys, be careful. You're going to get hit by a car, you know? Guys got to be careful. And the night of the reunion was insane. God, I think I was out. I went to both all the reunion shows. I think we were out to like 4:30 in the morning, and I'm partying, just going nuts, you know? All with Kiss fans, you know?
Well, let's talk a live one. So, Billy, what is your – we all love the album. It's just everything from the staring at the cover to the people on the back cover. We've all just stared at it for hours.
Yes.
Let's talk the music. What do you love about that album?
Well, first of all, when I saw the album, I knew it was going to be a rocking, you know, hard rocking album, and it didn't disappoint whatsoever. And just from the very start of J.R. Smalling coming out and saying, "You want the best? You got it. The hottest band in the land, Kiss." That, and just going into Deuce, that unreal.
"You want the best and you got it. The hottest band in the land, Kiss."
Jimmy, what about you? What do you take away from, and we all have hundreds of memories and thoughts, but what about Kiss Alive 1
Kiss Alive 1 was recorded in Detroit and Michigan and Cleveland, Ohio, and Wildwood, New Jersey, and Davenport, Iowa. So that's how this album, that's how they got, you know, they blended the album together from all of these shows, you know. The Wild, they played in Wildwood, New Jersey, and they had to come back, you know, 7 weeks later. So they wound up playing, the actual concert in July 23rd, 1975. They played with a band called Mushroom. That was the opening group. They played at the Wildwood Convention Center in Wildwood, New Jersey.
Bill, let me ask you something. Kiss was the best at merchandise. What was your setup in your room with the Kiss posters, and what kind of merchandise did you have?
Well, between me and my brother, we had just about everything you could have. We had every poster you could think of.
Mm-hmm.
I joined the Kiss Army in 76 whenever it started. And I remember getting like all these pictures and all the stickers and stuff, and that was all on the walls.
Yep.
And then of course later on we end up having the Kiss action figures.
Yeah.
Had to have those, but my brother still has them too. Unfortunately we don't have the originals though. Those got lost along the way, but he had a stage that he built for the whole thing, if you remember.
I think I do remember that.
Yeah, he built a stage and everything with lights, and you know, and I would take like firecrackers and bust them open, and we'd have little smoke pots or whatever.
I remember, would you have the Love Gun belt buckle?
Yeah, I had the Love Gun that was Pacifica. Remember those nice belt buckles?
Yeah, do you still have that?
My brother has it. I gave it to him because he had the Rock and Roll Over one, and I borrowed it, and I lost it.
Oh, all right. Well, you got to pay your dues.
Yeah.
Jimmy, you mentioned that you had the lunchbox.
And the umbrella that lights up in four different colors. Green for Peter, Chris, red for Gene, blue for Ace, and like a whitish blue for Paul.
Oh, yeah. God.
It lights up. The reason why it's a prototype. I have one of the first Kiss umbrellas that came out. You know, it's a prototype.
Got to ask you, who have you been for Halloween the most?
You know, I've never dressed up as Kiss in my life.
And I'm really?
A Kiss fan all my life.
Why not?
Yes, I've never done it.
Jimmy from the Bronx, Kiss fanatic, has never done.
I have never done it. I've met a few of them. You know, I went to a Peter Chris convention a couple of years back. About a Peter Chris's book signing. I went to this hotel in New York, right?
Mm-hmm.
In Midtown Manhattan. It was near the Garden, and it was beautiful. It was up, and then you went all the way up on the rooftop of the hotel, and Peter Chris played, his band played, you know. He did his songs like Beth, Hooligan,
Hard Luck,
you know,
Woman.
Hard Luck Woman. What was it? Out of Control, the albums and stuff like that. But I really didn't like Peter Chris, you know, like towards the end when they were getting like, you know, knocking heads with each other, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like he was starting to, you know, you're really starting to annoy me, you know? You know, you're bumping heads, you guys are all partied out, you're coked out, you know?
Jimmy, let me ask you. So you met Peter. Who else have you met, the whole band?
I have the Kiss Killers album signed by Gene, Paul, and Eric Carr.
No, okay? But did you meet them?
Yeah. I went to a signing. I went to a signing, and it was Gene, Paul, and Eric Carr. Eric Carr just joined Kiss, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, what a great guy he was. I mean, oh, Eric Carr, it's unbelievable, you know? And we're talking about the Kiss Army, we were goofing around, and my friend's coming up to me, and he always calls me Commander or Colonel, or, you know? Eric Carr heard my friends call me Colonel, and I said, all right, at ease, guys, you know, and we goof around. And why do they call you Colonel for? And And he said, "Oh, that's his rank in the Kiss Army, you know." And Eric Carr started busting out laughing. And he said, "No." Eric Carr said to me, "No, you got a new rank now. You're going to be like Supreme Allied Commander, you know, the Kiss Army."
That's
and
awesome.
We laughed, you know. But he was a beautiful. I saw. Well, when he first came to Kiss Radio City, oh, what a show, man! I mean, you know, he was in the tank and all. Oh, it was great.
Bill, have you ever had a chance to meet any of the guys from KISS?
I have not. I have not met any KISS members.
Well, you haven't. Have you ever had a chance to, or it's...
Well, it's only the closest chance was the time when with you, but I couldn't go, so my brother T went in my place, which I'm very happy he did, because he's a huge KISS fan. He's the biggest KISS fan I know.
Let's see. I met Gene Simmons a few summers ago. Jimmy, Bill was talking about Gene was up here in Rochester when he was on a promotional tour for, I don't know if you're familiar with it, he has that pop, the Gene Simmons.
Kiss soda.
Yes. Yeah, so he came and I tried
getting it.
I've never tried it. I have a 4-pack of it, but I brought Bill's brother, Todd. Bill's brother, Todd's older than us, and... you know, I had two tickets. I called Bill because we've been buddies since, you know, the 70s.
How was he? Cool? Or is he?
No, he was cool because this is a funny story. So what they did was you bought it was $25 for the 4-pack, right? Mm-hmm. And you waited in line and then you gave, before you even went to Gene, you gave the 4-pack to a handler right there, and right. The guy would give it to Gene, and Gene would sign it. Well,
oh, cool.
Yeah, but what I did, I was a little sneaky. I had a picture of me as Gene Simmons when I was in college, and I taped it to the 4-pack. So when the guy, this is bad, but when he gave it to Gene. I was next to Gene. It was me, Gene, and Todd, Bill's brother. And I whispered to Gene. As he signed the one side, I said, "Hey, can you do me a favor?" And he flipped it around. I go, "Can you sign this one picture? It's my late brother, and he's a huge KISS fan." I know.
That's great.
Well, no, it's a lie. I'm going to, you know, God's going to strike me down because it was me. And so he signed it. So I'll post the picture of me, Gene, and Todd, Bill's brother, and I'm whispering to Gene. I go, "Hey, man, you got about 80 plus years of fandomonium right here." And you see Gene pointing to me. He goes, "You're the man." And so to answer your question, Gene was very cool. I know everyone has their run-ins with him and, you know, whatnot, but... to me, Gene was cool. But listen, guys, we're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we're going to play the Metal Mayhem ROC fun game of Mount Rushmore of Metal as the Vernomatic, Bill the Rager, and Jimmy from the Bronx relive Kiss Alive 1.
Hey, friends of the Metal Mayhem ROC podcast. Vernomatic here, inviting you to get those horns up and to join us live Monday night, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time for Metal Mayhem ROC Live. We crack the vaults open and play the best of the metal for the last 50 years. Get in a chat room, meet other bangers from around the world, send me a request and I'll get it on for you. That's Metal Mayhem ROC Live with me, the Vernomatic, Monday nights, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time on ThatMetalStation.com.
Many have tried, most have failed, only a few survived. This is the Mount Rushmore of Metal.
Okay, Mount Rushmore of Metal time. We're going to play Best KISS Shows. Bill, let me have your 4 Best KISS Concerts.
Oh, wow. Well, the first one's definitely... 1983, early 83, we saw him on the,
Creatures of the Night.
Creatures. Yeah. Had a little mind fuck there. But anyway, Creatures of the Night. I was supposed to have seen him before that, but it wasn't to be. They played in Buffalo in 78, and there was a huge snowstorm. And
what, the Dynasty show?
No, before that. It was Love Gun Tour, Live 2. Okay. It was after Live 2 came out, but... Yeah, I was a little kid, and you know, my mom was like, we're not going to Buffalo.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was a school night too. So anyway, so I didn't get to see Kiss till 1982.
Okay, so awesome.
Or 83, I'm sorry.
So Creatures.
Then let's see. I would say 1996, the reunion tour.
The reunion tour did kick ass.
Yeah, that totally kicked ass. It was in St. Petersburg at the Tropicana Field.
Okay.
Where the Devil Rays play, Rays now or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
That show just, it freaking ruled. Seeing the original lineup and, you know, they're wearing their old costumes and playing the classics. And there's probably about 28,000 people there.
That's cool. Yeah. That's cool.
And next, I would say 2004 with you at Darien Lake in near Buffalo. There.
Rock the Nation tour?
Rock the Nation.
Yeah, tour. That was a good show.
Yeah, that was a really good show. And then I got to say 2016 at the Rochester War Memorial.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that show was incredible.
I didn't go to that one. I was working, but it was a treat because it was a small venue.
Yes,
show.
And it was packed. We were on the floor. It was me, my brother T, and Mike Lincoln, and we had a blast.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was a great show.
Well, like yourself, my number one, I'm almost vintage, is Creatures of the Night. Jimmy, when we saw Creatures of the Night up here in Rochester at the War Memorial, it's your usual rock, hockey arena, but it wasn't selling that well. So what they did was they only used half the arena, but they used the back half of the arena. So we are all in the horseshoe at the back of the venue. And so the stage was close and they had that tank really close. And so that show was kick ass. Probably my second best Kiss. Well, I have four. The reunion that 96 was great. Yeah. Just the excitement, the buzz in the air. And in no particular order, Kiss at Turning Stone Casino. That was a small venue, and that was, I don't know when, it was like 10, 15 years ago, but it was within. But my top four is Kiss Animal Eyes at the Rochester War Memorial in Queensryche opened, and they're on their warning tour.
I was almost going to say that one.
And I love that stretch of Creatures, Lick It Up, Animal Eyes. I think those albums are fantastic.
They are. They're great.
So that's ours. Now, let's go to Jimmy from the Bronx and get yours. What do you got for us, Jim?
All right. The first tour, 76 show, The Garden, was amazing. Both the reunion tours. The reunion tour was great because I was with my friend Charlie, and Gene Simmons flew in the air and was doing the blood, and my friend Charlie got blood on his sneaker.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
At that show. And that's like the one of my infamous Kiss shows. My friend Charlie never washed that sneaker for the rest of his life. You know how Gene flies up in the air and he looks like a bat, like,
yeah.
And the blood, and he was doing the blood, and then he was coming, and then they were bringing him back down, and we were like seventh or eighth row on the floor, right in the center. Mm-hmm. and he got the blood right on his sneaker. They were brand new sneakers, and he had the blood on his sneakers. So that was like, we were going nuts that show. I mean, you know, my friend was like, oh, I gotta take my shoe off, I can't walk around with this, you know, I gotta make sure, you know, the blood don't come off, you know. And it was like red dye or jello, you know. But I mean, it was funny. You know, we were cracking up, you know, stoned out of our minds cracking up, you know. My friend got bled on by Gene Simmons, you know. And the reunion, the Mohican Sun was great on the Monster Tour. That was a great Kiss concert, even though it's not original Kiss, you know. But they came out in a, oh, you guys got to go to Mohican Sun, man, for a concert, man. It's like the greatest place. It's in Huntersville, Connecticut.
Yeah, you know? I've heard about it.
It's like, they have a stage. It's as big as Radio City, right? It's huge. And the seating is small. It's like a WNBA arena. It holds like 14,000 people. You know,
oh, that's awesome.
So, yeah, we went to, you know, I was in the second deck for Kiss in like the third row in the corner. And God, we were melting from the flames when they shot the flames off. Man, we were sweating from it.
It sounds, you know? when we were at Creatures, it was the same way.
Yeah, yeah. The fire, every time it was, you know, it'd go off, you could feel the heat from it immediately.
Yeah. another original Kiss show was great. Was Dynasty. It was a great tour. I know it was glammed out and all, but it was a great tour. You know, the Dynasty show was a great show.
Now, who opened on that? And when you saw him,
I think it was FM or New England. I'm not sure. One of the band, like, I think the band's name is FM or New England. I'm not sure.
Okay, I only ask because I know Judas Priest got luckily opened on a few.
Or maybe it was Priest, but it was two. I think it was two shows. I remember that we went to one of the two.
I saw Kiss at Madison Square Garden on the Psycho Circus tour.
I did too. I still have the 3D glasses that they gave you to look at the screen with.
Yeah, I still have that, and down in the Vertimatic Vault, I still have confetti from one of the shows.
I went to see Kiss New Year's Eve during the reunion.
Brooklyn Bridge?
No. During the reunion, they came back at the tail end of the reunion again.
Yeah.
And they played the Brendan Byrne Arena in New Jersey, and I was in the second row, and they did a rock and roll night with these huge Kiss balloons and a Kiss on them. I still have two of the balloons, these black balloons that fell there. But it was a very sloppy show. Ace really was fucking drunk and he was falling all over the fucking place. And Peter Criss was pretty coked up and he looked fucking hammered out, you know? And fucking Gene was like pissed the whole fucking show. He was fucking mad because they were fucking up, you know? You know, Ace was supposed to do the, like, you know, he was supposed to come in. He was coming in too late. Fucking Gene's fucking looking at him like, I'm going to rip your fucking head off, you know?
Well, that's why they're not in the band anymore.
Yeah. Because they were fucking polluted, you know. I mean,
yeah.
You know, but it's great to see that. It was great to see them, you know, up close, you know.
Bill, I'm going to ask you this now. So Dynasty comes out, and there's a little backlash at 79. You know, Van Halen's coming around, things getting a little heavier or whatnot, and then Unmasked came out. What was your temperature on the band? Where I know it was the period we were finding other bands.
Yeah. I was definitely not into that record. I wasn't even a huge fan of Dynasty. My brother loved it, but I just wasn't really into it. So when Unmasked came out, I know I listened to it a few times, and I was just like, eh.
When was the last time you really gave it a spin?
It's been a while. But I did listen to some of it recently, within the last few months, I would say.
Well, maybe we should both do a little heavy metal homework and we'll digest the album.
All
and
right.
You know, maybe in the fall we'll have a reunion of us three, and and then what, you picked them up? Well, obviously when
Creatures came out, I was right back into it.
Creatures,
I was like, that album kicks ass,
that whole run.
Yeah,
until, you know,
I wasn't a big fan of the late 80s stuff. That's when they
Crazy start... World or Crazy Nights. They, yeah. You know, they got a little too neon-y for me, and Gene's hair. And, but, you know, that's a whole nother discussion. Yeah. What about you, Jimmy? You're a...
Oh, great. By the way, Crazy Nights was great. I went to see Crazy Night at the Ritz in a club in New York City, and it had no air conditioning at the show.
Oh.
And it was during the summer, and I went to both shows, and I think I lost about 20 pounds at each show, but they were great shows.
Yeah. The tour was cool. I saw him with Nugent. It was cool.
Ted, man. Oh, God, Ted was the first musical act I ever saw. I saw Ted and Aerosmith, you know? God, you could hear Ted, you know, in the next continent, he was playing so loud, you know. I mean, he was I loved Ted back then, you know. Like, I stopped listening to Ted about after Weekend Warriors. I started like getting out to, oh no, but I want to make a point about Kiss Alive too. After Kiss Alive comes out, now bands are putting live albums out. You know what albums comes out after that? Frampton Comes Alive comes out.
Yep.
Kiss starts like a trend on bands kicking out live albums.
They did.
Now Kiss has done it, you know? Yes.
Yeah, All the World's a Stage was right around there.
Oh, great. Rush was, that was great. I saw Rush and Foghat. What a fucking show, you know? I love Foghat, you know. I mean, Rush was unbelievable, man, you know. I think I only missed three Rush tours, you know. I've seen them so many times, you know.
Yeah, I started seeing them in 81 moving pictures. And circling back, FM opened Rush, opened that show. So.
Yeah, FM too. Yeah, I've seen that band twice. I remember that band, and I remember a band opening for Kiss called New England.
Jimmy, how old are you?
I'm 58.
All right, so you got those 3 years.
Yeah,
well, I'm 53. Bill's 54.
I'm 54. I'll be 55.
You know, those are vital years, man. Because
yep,
you know, like Sammy, you can't drive 55. No,
yeah, this is a Roth house. So, now, what was your temperature on the Dynasty Unmasked, that kind of bridge?
I knew. I like some songs on Unmasked. I like Dynasty. I like most of Dynasty. I love some. I'm not crazy about the Ace Frehley songs like Torpedo Girl. I hate that song. It's one of Ace Frehley's worst songs. You know, it's annoying. And then when Ace put out Unmasked, I said then all of a sudden, oh, we got to stop. We got to start putting out a solo albums now and stuff like that. I'm like, what? You know?
Wait, no, the solos were earlier.
I'm sorry. I'm even getting ahead of this. I'm thinking the solo albums put them off, were starting to put them off track. I wasn't crazy. That Gene Simmons album is horrific. I mean, you know, freaking Cher is singing in the background. I was like, I hate that record. You know, it's so stupid. I don't like Peter Criss's album either. It's absolutely garbage. You know, and I see people defending that album. Oh, it's great. Oh, you don't know what you're talking. Yeah, I know what I'm talking about. It sucked. You know?
I heard that they did the solo albums because there was such friction in the band that Casablanca said, all right, well, let's get four solo albums out, release them on the same date, and keep the brand out there.
I don't know. I still thought there was friction, you know. They're arguing over money. Who's making more, you know?
Well, then the movie
yeah, well, that was a disaster. You know, I thought, I mean, that was not acting. That was a joke. You know, I mean, oh,
I still loved it though.
I know.
I mean, yeah, I mean,
rip
I love
and destroy.
It. You know what album was? I thought it was a disaster, but it was The Elder. You know.
Oh, that's another one. That was part of that.
It's a great, you know, it has great tracks on it. But remember, it was supposed to be like a story.
We need to digest that one too.
You know, it was about, this boy and all this. They were going to make like, what is it like Tommy was going to be like, you know? It was horrible, you know? There was like five good tracks on it. The other tracks, I can't stand Escape from the Island or that was stupidest song, you know? There's no singing in it. It's just this stupid metal-y shit. It's stupid. It sucked.
Jimmy, let me ask you, who's your favorite Kiss guy?
Oh, Frehley. and by the way, I did meet Ace Frehley. I met Ace Frehley at the first Frehley's Comet show in New York because he was out. I was standing outside of the Best Buy's theater in 43rd Street, and Anthony Esposito came, and Anthony Esposito was the bass player. He came out of the guitar out of a car, a limo, like black limo, and Anthony Esposito asked me for a light, for a cigarette. I lit a cigarette, and then I turned around. Ace was right next to me, like, "Hey, how's it going?" You know, man. And Ace was like, "How's it going, man? Man, you coming to the show?" I said, "Yeah. We're just waiting for the door to open up," you know. And Andy, I like Frehley's Comets, like, you know, the earliest Frehley's Comets. I don't like Ace Frehley putting out every cover song that was ever made. You know, I mean, I'm getting tired of that. You know, yeah. What happened? He just stopped making. You know, what was it? He made that out, Bronx Boy and all of that stuff. Then he stopped making it, and everything is Origins too. Origins.
Well,
you know?
What was the last original Anomaly?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Anomaly.
But even still, the single was Fox on the Run, I think, and it's like,
the latest stuff is all cover songs. You know, I mean, God, give it a rest, Ace. You know, I mean,
yeah.
You know. I want to see how you do. I want to see how you do playing with Alice Cooper, man. You better be ready, man. You know.
Yeah.
You know, because Alice is, you know, I seen Alice, this Alice Cooper band. I love that girl, the guitar player.
Arante?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And the blonde one. And then I love that record, too, with Detroit Stories. I think that's really a fantastic record, man.
I'm not that deep into Cooper to sit down and listen to
it. Well, Cooper's like an eye, you know. Cooper's on the Rushmore. So it's and Blue Eyes the Cult.
Well, we'll never. There is no wrong answer on Rushmore. So, well, any parting shots before we get out of here, guys? Bill?
Just that, you know, Kiss Alive, man. That's what got me. It's really the record that started me on my journey.
Are you? Would you go see him again?
Yeah, probably if the price was right.
I saw him before the pandemic. I saw the reunion.
No, I did farewell. Too. And it was a great show.
Where, up in Buffalo?
In Syracuse. Took T up there to.
Oh, okay. Lake yeah, Q. No, it was you know bombs and fire every 2.5 seconds. And,
yeah, no, it was a great show. It was.
Yeah,
it's
they're like old friends, and you know what? And the way things are going with. You know, people pass in and this and that. You can't go back. And, yeah. You know, do you care if, like, you know, half the, he's not singing half the crap? And, you know,
yeah,
it is what it is. What about you, Jimmy? You you have some shows on the docket. You already have tickets and you're.
I'm going to see my 31st Kiss show is in August in Connecticut.
You gonna paint up the face and wear the costume?
No, I'm gonna wear you know my vintage Kiss shirts and stuff like that.
Busted your balls.
And I'll wear my Kiss sneakers that I have, and you know.
That's awesome.
I went to Umptonsville, Connecticut, you know, to see Kiss. They had the Kiss slot machines. You know, in the casino, they had the Kiss slot machines. I played it. I played the Kiss slot machine and I won $850 on the slot machine.
Wow.
That's cool.
At the Kiss concert.
That's awesome.
Yeah. This old lady got up out of the seat and they had a whole bank in them. They look like the original. They were all the original. And like, if you got 4 Gene Simmonses and, you know, 3 Peter Chris's, that's how you won the money and stuff like, yeah, I think I got like 3 H Freely's and I won like $850. So I was like, yeah.
Nice.
You know,
that's awesome. Yeah. Listen, on a serious note, I do want to thank you for the support at the, that metal station with the show. You know,
you're welcome. Hey, we're happy to have you aboard. You know, it's great. You know,
well, it's nice to be there. You know, I have a history in broadcasting. I want to get back into it. And
yeah, Sarah, you know, Sarah appreciates, you know, all the hard work you do. And I appreciate it. And I like your podcast. I like your buddy's podcast, Metal Mark.
Mark. I don't know where Metal Mark is. So that's
I don't know where he is, but, yeah.
You know,
we'll send out an APB, an APB for him. We'll find
him. He'll be back. Mark, yeah. Mark has a lot of talent. It's just, hey, you know, we're all here for metal. So, all right, Jimmy, let Bill say goodbye and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, Jimmy, it was good talking to you, brother.
Hey, nice to talk to you, man. It's a pleasure, you know?
Right on.
Hey, thank you, all right?
All right.
Stay metal, guys, all right?
Yeah.
You too. Keep raging.
Take care, Jimmy.
All right. Bye now.
So that's Jimmy from the Bronx. He's got a lot of tales and a lot of energy. what do you think of Jimmy?
Yeah, definitely, man. He is... definitely the Kiss expert.
All right, well, Kiss Alive 1, you know, it's my favorite Kiss album.
Mine too, hands down, absolutely. If anyone has not gotten into that album, you got to listen to it. It's their best album.
And it's still, you know, when you hear it, you know when an album's captured you, when you hear it and you go back to when you heard it for the first time.
Yep.
A couple of years ago, Eddie Trunk was doing his top 20 of a band's best songs.
Yep.
And he was doing Kiss. And I got on to, and I told Eddie, I said, listen, I'm not doing top 20 songs. I said, I'm doing top four, but it's each song by each person. And I did Gene Deuce from Alive 1.
Right on.
Ace Shock Me from Alive 2.
There you go.
Peter with Black Diamond. Yep. And for Paul, 100,000 Years.
All right. Right on.
Like, now, when you hear 100,000 Years from Alive 1.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are. That screams Kiss, 70s, arena rock. You could smell them.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and he does his rap. He's getting the crowd riled up. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Bill the Rager, thanks for coming up into the studio and your input. We appreciate it.
All right, Vernomatic, thanks for having me, man.
Well, we're out of here. I hope you enjoyed this walk down heavy metal memory lane. And remember, Monday nights, the Metal Mayhem live radio show on thatmetalstation.com. Thanks for the support, and always remember to keep it heavy.
I want to hear everybody here say rock and roll. Now come on, I know you can do better than that. So we're gonna try it again. I want y'all to catch.
For life.
Thanks for listening to Metal Mayhem ROC. Check out our websites at metalmayhemroc.com and metalforever.com for information on upcoming concerts, podcasts, archives, and all sorts of info. Please like, follow, and share with everyone, even your non-metal friends. Catch us next time on WLFE-DB Radio.